There were times in the past when it was the Singing Browns. And now we're blessed today with the Childs. Well, we're so blessed, we enjoy it so much. I need somebody to pick out a closing hymn for me. Dan, would you do that? All right, thank you. We'll look into that a little later. Let's bow and pray. Lord, thank you for this morning we can gather together. Thank you, Lord, for the good news that Joanne is home now. And we think of the hard news, she's in a lot of pain. And so, Lord, we ask for grace for her. And we thank you, Lord, for her strength. Even though she's strong and she faces life with a great deal of optimism, still, Lord, she faces every day with a lot of pain. We ask, Lord, you give her grace and give her strength, and give her relief from that pain. We pray for healing. Pray, Lord, for Alicia, who just in a hurry to take care of a baby walked into the door and got badly knocked out, injured. Pray, Lord, for healing for Alicia. Thank you, Lord. Apparently she'll be all right, though. Praise you, Lord, for that. Lord, as we look to your word, we pray, Lord, you'll help us to see more about who you are and how you interact with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's more like to think about Super Bowl and the big game of life. Sports is really fun, especially when you're young and get to participate more. But even to be with families or with friends and cheering, there's something contagious about that, something beautiful. Especially I love to see, and you love to see, when players will express their faith on the field or before the microphone. It's surprising how many will do that. And I know that, you know, out of those football teams, it's surprising to see that for me. Because when I was on the Navy with about 250 guys on our ship, a lot of times I didn't know any other Christians on board. And so you figure 250 people, I don't know any Christians. They were there. I just didn't know them, hiding out. And so if you figure 250 football players, well, if you got people out there expressing their faith, that's a pretty good percentage. Back in the past, there was Tim Tebow with John 3:16 under his eyes. Remember that? Or he'd take a knee. Others huddle in prayer. Or you see a fan out in the past the end zone with hold up John 3:16 for everybody on TV, expressing their faith, beautiful. For others, they come to faith through these witnesses. And then there's Chris Carter, who's a Hall of Famer, wide receiver for the Vikings. Do a quick Google, and you'll see him on his knees. You see his voice, his face towards the heavens, his hands held in posture of prayer, looking to the Lord. But he was addicted to drugs. He was drafted by the Eagles first, and he was just a mess. It's like they sold him for a bag of salt to get him out. They were fed up with him. And so he went to the Vikings. There he came to know Jesus Christ. He gave his life to the Lord. He became the great superstar and a great evangelist for the Lord. There's Reggie White, one of the greatest defensive players in history. And they called him the Minister of Defense. He's doing defense all right, but he's also a minister because he's ordained. Amen. Joe Gibbs, renowned Christian. Well, in many passages of Scripture, we find these sports analogies. This tells us something about God and sports. It tells us something about the writers. I believe Paul loves sports. Hebrews chapter 12. Here we read. In fact, these are Julie's favorite verses. And so as she graduated from Christian Academy, they asked me to be the speaker at her graduation. And so I spoke on her favorite verses, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And so you find these analogies to sports and the Word of God, running and wrestling. And there's also, you know, kind of looking towards football, we can pick up some applications. I was thinking about some jokes. A guy shows up late to a football game. His friend says, well, what took you so long to get here? Well, he said, I couldn't decide if I want to go to church or if I want to go to the game. And so he said, I had to flip a coin. Well, why does that take so long? Well, he said, I had to flip it 50 times, and then I could decide to come to the game. Another case, the stadium is filled up. There's just the frenzy over all the plays. And from where they're at up there in the stands, this guy and his friends could see as a funeral procession was going by, and he stopped his cheering, put his hand over his heart. And his friend said, that is so kind. I respect that so much that you do that. Well, he said, I should. I was married to her for 35 years. Pathetic. A little kid was bragging. There's Taylor out in the yard doing this with a little plastic ball and bat, throwing a ball up and then swinging with the bat. She could connect at times. But a little boy was bragging that he's the greatest hitter. Greatest in the world. So he throws the ball up, misses, throws the ball up, misses, throws the ball up, misses. And he says, you know, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. Can't hit. Well, look at some analogies here. And you know what keeps our attention? We got all this world around about us. And sometimes, although there's much to enjoy, sometimes we don't. Like in Canada, we lived in a proximity of about 100 different great parks. Well, I don't remember going to any of them unless we went with our church. One time I think we did stop by the hot springs. I don't remember we even got to swim. I don't know, it didn't seem like it worked out that good, but you know, it didn't matter. I take Micah to the ski lodge and he and his friend would go skiing, and I'd sit in the lodge and study. Utah National Parks. I was trying to think of the name of the one. A youth group came and they took us to this national park with us. Was that Zion's? No, that wasn't Zion's, because Zion's, we went through Zion's one time on a trip, and if you could just make a little detour, you could drive through the park. And that was beautiful. We love that. We love to do things, you know, with our family. We go out of our way for our family. But so I got to go to this park with the youth group. It was just beautiful. They paid my way and everything. What was the name of that? Well, it was a Moab. No, it was at Moab. It's Arches, Arches National Park. But you know, my greatest adventures of life, I don't really like cities, but my greatest adventures of life are in the cities, because that's where the people are. And so where the people are, that's where the action is. Hardly ever do we go to movies. I haven't been very many movies at all, but when I do go, I go with friends, or, you know, especially with some great Christian movie coming out, that kind of thing. And like September Dawn, that's amazing, especially if you live in Utah. And sometimes go with family or with vacations. I'm not really interested in going on vacations unless we can go with our kids or turn it into a witnessing adventure. Then, yeah, I'm all for it. We talked to some great promoters about different vacation deals, and we go, no, we don't want that. In fact, we lived there. You know, I don't know how many times we had to say, we lived there, or we went through there. We have been there. He's getting so frustrated with us. But we go, well, we don't want to go there. And a lot of those things we're just passing through. It's something about what God gives you, just living life, and didn't have to go out of our way at all. But now some things about football and life. In both cases, it's offense and defense. In football, there's that classic battle back and forth of offense and defense. Now, witnessing, primarily it's our offense we want to share. But then there's the wolves that attack and they deceive and they go after the lambs. Somebody's got to protect them. Most people maybe don't know enough about that to try to do that. So anyway, the cults, somebody, my sister said years ago when I was just young, she said the cults are like a leech that live off the blood of the church. They don't know enough to go out and start something on their own, but wherever the church goes, they follow, and then they talk with our language and draw people away. So we need defense because of the unsuspecting. Got to be firm to expose that. Good versus evil. And so I think about the game today. I think of, you know, Kansas City is good, and some cities not too crazy about, like New Orleans, Las Vegas, San Diego, or San Francisco. I think of them as the bad time. Anyway, it's offense, defense. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that's awesome. Isn't that exciting? And so, you know, you think about football, it's that struggle down there in the gridiron, both sides struggling to gain the win. And so if you're offense, you want to gain ground. If you're on defense, you don't want to lose ground. Well, it's the same way in the Christian life. And so we think in the Christian life how we want to walk with God, but it gets more intense when you want to go deeper with God. When you really want to live with God, you want to give your all to God. You want to just go for God, especially for a lifetime. And so God has his purposes in your life, but in order to live for the Lord, you have to go through the defense. And because the enemy is always wanting to place himself between you and where God wants you to be, between the goal line. And so he wants to keep you from reaching God's desires for your life. So how are you going to get through? I was mowing grass when I was just a teenager. Actually, I guess I was in my senior year. And I was mowing barefooted. My mom said, you really need to put your shoes on. So I went and put my shoes on. And I was mowing. I hit this big bolt. And that bolt was like a missile from the lawnmower right into my foot, and it really tore me up. So I had to go to the doctor and get that taken. I don't remember if there's stitches. Seems like I don't remember. Anyway, that year I decided to go out for football. So it's really pathetic. Team is running laps. I'm out there kind of loping and skipping and trying to get around the field, hobbling. Why'd I bother? But I did. Because in kids' imagination, well, I'm just going to get through this, and I'm going to go play football and that kind of thing. But I didn't know anything about it. And then, you know, I got my uniform. I didn't know anything about it. My shoulder pads didn't have any padding on them. They're just plastic. I thought, man, when you run into somebody, especially, you know, you hit them in the legs or something, that hurts my bony shoulders. And finally somebody said, you know, one day said, well, you got a problem with your shoulder pads. They don't have any padding on them. So what good's it do to wear them like that? Now, if you look at the pros, you know, something about where a player plays on the field by the equipment that he wears. Because if he's playing in the line, he's right there in the midst of all of that area where he can get some real damage. And so he has to have extra padding. But if you're just a kicker, oh, you don't want all that. In fact, you don't even need the whole face mask. A lot of times they just have one little bar around, and so they just want to make the kick and then get off the field. It doesn't require all that padding. But you look at our Christian lives, it's a life of impact. And so we can anticipate in our Christian lives, walking with God, with just exactly what God has told us about, you can expect some level of engagement. You're going to get hit. When I was a kid, we were playing back in the backyard, somebody's backyard, and I was carrying the ball, and this big guy jumped right on my back. Well, I've hardly had any problems with my back, thankfully, through my life, but I sure did after that for a long time. My back hurt. And somebody, I don't know what he, how he did it, but find some big guy outweighing you, you know. When I was a little kid watching TV, we go to Waterloo and go to my relatives, and so some of those holidays, we got to watch TV and watch the big games. What was it usually? Rose Bowl. And so that was fun. And I could imagine myself as a little kid seeing those players get hit. Yeah, when I grow up, if they knock me down, I'm just going to get right up. I'm just going to keep right on playing. Nothing's going to stop me. Just got to be big about this. And so I'd imagine that in my head. Doesn't work that way. Because when you really get hit, it takes you out. So, and you know, some of these major players, they've had some concussions. And that's from getting hit so hard so many times. So in the Christian life of America, you know, we think, like a lot of people think, I just want to live a quiet, little, peaceful Christian life. Interacting with people from Africa, they don't get that. They don't get that. There's a lot of suffering over there. There's some countries that are more peaceful. But other ones, all over Africa, there's a lot of chaos going on. Governments that don't really love their people don't try to protect their people. They don't have such a peaceful life. And so, you know, we just want to come to church, be with our friends, have a nice service. Don't be too convicted. Don't step on my toes. Just let me enjoy Jesus. Then go home. Comfort-free zone. No stress. That's my Christian life here in this country. So we have our Bibles. What's our Bible say? Put on the whole armor of God. Why is that? Because there's no contact? No, you better wear it. You better wear your armor because God is warning us here, you're going to get hit in the Christian life. And so the armor of God is what you need when you get hit to keep you standing, keep you going. And some believers don't advance much in their Christian life because they don't want to get hit. Act like surprise. Man, I really got hit, you know. Well, that's the way it happens. That's what Jesus said. But if you want to advance in your Christian life, if you want to gain yardage in living for the Lord, if you want to score, if you want to do something, the devil's going to notice you. You're going to get hit. Like in Hawaii, I was trying to be the big evangelist of the whole island. So I was out there doing all kinds of things. And we're in all kinds of car accidents. None of them were our fault, but everybody in our family was in car accidents. And I said, I think the devil's trying to kill us. Well, the devil notices when you're busy in your plan for God. I mentioned Irene. There's this druggy corner out here. And people trying to get money from cars passing by. The problem is, after you've seen so much of that, you don't know where to give. And there's people out there with legitimate needs, but you don't know who to give money to because you don't know who's the givers and who's the takers in life. Well, the same is true when you watch TV and you say, there's people that are showing there that are in deep poverty. They need help. But I don't know who's the middleman. I don't know if I can give there because I don't know if they'll get the money or not. And the problem is you got these, you know, big televangelists, they already got their mansion. and they buy another one. And they've got their jets. And you see so many people that dishonest with the Lord's money. You just don't know what to do with it. You're thankful for like the City Union Mission down here, the Samaritan's Purse, or for, Mercy Ship or something like, for real ministries. But those who covet so much and take so much ruin it, and they're going to have a lot to answer for before God, not only for how they wasted his money, but because when you want to help somebody, you don't know if it's real. And so there's those precious people out there with big needs. You go, I'd love to help them, but I don't know who's the middleman. It's like giving to Druggy Corner. It could be a waste. If you want victory in life, you need treasures in heaven. But God says you need to engage the enemy in battle. And so Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so to advance in the game of life, we do anticipate that the devil is going to have something to say. And he's going to try to get between you and your goal where God wants you to be. Well, Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so Jesus is saying, just tear that thing down that's between you and the will of God. Keep going, but through his power. So God is telling us, there's all of that out there from the enemy. That's the defense. But go through it, through the power of God, prayerfully, seeking God, but trusting God. As God opens up doors before you and makes it possible. Now the Lord had the land of milk and honey waiting before the Israeli people. Oh, beautiful thing. So go claim it. Oh, but one thing. There are enemies in the land. There are fortified cities there. There are giants before you. And so you have to be willing, although it's for God, to go out there and to engage the enemy in life. And so do we. We have the enemy. But what are we going to do? We're going to advance for God. If you love God and you want to serve God. And so in that football analogy, one of the keys to win the game is you got to hang on to the ball. Got to hang on to the ball. And because as you get out there, the defense wants to take the ball out of your hands. But when you're running the ball, you got to keep your hands on the ball. So we have an obligation to hang in there and don't lose the ball. Don't quit running. Don't drop the ball. It's easy to drop the ball in Christian life. If you expect to score, you got to stay in the game. And you got to hang on to what God has given you to hang on to. One thing we don't see much in this day of age is a lot of consistency or a responsibility. And people will stay at it, month after month, year after year, walking with God. But it's a beautiful thing. I don't have to preach to you guys about that because you already know that. You're doing it. But Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. Amen, Paul, you did. I have finished the course all the way. I have kept the faith. In other words, he hung on to the ball. So, and if you want to advance in Christian faith, that means you got to hang on to it. You got to hang on to it. Church in Revelation, Jesus said, be faithful unto death. That means what? It means you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful to the Lord. Hang on to your faith. Don't lose your faith. Keep the ball. No matter what happens, hang on. And so when the enemy attacks, he does not want you to get up, right? The enemy wants to stop your advance. Now, if he can get you discouraged enough, might not be that you're too hurt. You're just discouraged. And some people in their discouragement will ruin their reputation. They'll do something stupid. And what they're doing is they miss the chance of advancing. You know, people knew you who they thought you were, And then have you ever had people like that? They just betray you so bad, and it's like, I've known you for years, I just can't believe you did that. And some of them don't show any sign of remorse. Well, what are you going to do then? Well, hey, we have these unusual trials, but the enemy is trying to distance you from God. And nothing will discourage you like another Christian. I mean, you expect the devil's people to act like the devil. That doesn't surprise you. That doesn't discourage you. I mean, just keep going. I mean, no matter how many there are, they don't know the Lord. What do you expect? But when a Christian lets you down, you can have, 50 people encourage you, but when one really lets you down, that's heavy on your heart, isn't it? That's hard. That really hurts. And so the devil wants to use that to keep you down. But you have to decide in your heart, I'm not going to stay down. I'm going to rise. I'm going to rise for the Lord. So, when you get knocked down, what are you going to do when you get up? We can flee into the arms of Jesus. Or I see a lot of people run the other way. And so do you. They run away from God. And so the devil, he doesn't just hate you. Isn't it amazing how somebody just hates you without a cause? For some reason, the devil in his wrath hates you. Like, what did I do? Why pick on me? Why do you hate everybody? What is this about hate everybody? Why? Well, he does. But he doesn't just hate you. He wants to keep you from the goal. He wants to keep you far from God. So, you'll find people, and Christians are Christians, but they've been gone from church for months. You wonder, man, I wonder what's wrong. Why? Why don't you ever go to, just worship God? Well, I'm going through things in my life. Life is so demanding, or I got this car payment, and so I got to work. What kind of car are you driving anyway? Isn't a car just transportation? So that is so special to you. It'll keep you away from the people of God. It'll keep you away from worshiping God publicly because you got these other ambitions that come between you and the Lord. And Jesus suffered for you publicly. You think about the price, there's none greater. But how many times, God's plan's just not my plan. And so with a tipping point of faith, it doesn't mean they don't know the Lord. They're just not in the game. Well, that's pathetic. You can be a star player, but you're sitting on the bench. Or you're like this guy that was just doing drugs. I mean, he's out of the game because he had other gods in his life until he came to know the Lord. So to face, job problems, finances, loss, anger, death, the devil will use anything in his arsenal to keep you from getting up and from staying in the game and from living for the Lord. We are a separated people. We're sanctified unto the Lord. That's why he saved us. We belong to him. We're not our own. But we can be set aside into the world because that's the devil's plan. And the devil's really good at working his plan. And so we have these temptations. They're big. But we need to trust the Lord. We need to trust God. Provide. Who's a provider? We had hard times, so we found out God's the proven provider. Because against all odds, we were paying our bills. More than once in life, huge things, and we paid our bills. How did we do that? It's because we trusted God. And I discovered God is, one title for him could be the proven provider. He always provided. How does he do that? What's your provider? Well, it's my job. So everything's on my job. Or I can't, give I can't give tithes. If I give it away, who's going to give it back? So, you know, really in a comfort zone. The devil does not care about your little battles, whatever they are, or big battles. He just wants your faith. And that's why, you know, we see people, they're moving up 5 yards in life, but then they're back 10. That's disturbing. I mean, is there anything more discouraging to watch Christians stumble? Tackled way beyond the line of scrimmage. They're not advancing. And so the enemy in their lives could be ours at times, like we don't all strike 1,000 at all. We've been there ourselves. But the enemy is bigger in life than their God. They're more responding to the enemy than they are to God. So, like, when I was trying to learn football or senior high school, I'm out in that field. I don't even know how to read the plays. I'm all confused. Now I watch TV, and I go, nope, they're going that way with the ball. How do the guys on the field know where the ball is to go tackle the right guy? I have no idea. But if you're the new guy on the field, like in the Christian faith, too, just so immature, you can't keep your eye on the ball. It's harder. You don't know which way to go. You're trying, but you're new to this. It's confusing. And so the opposition makes a move. You see something, but you don't have the panorama of the whole field like the old veterans out there do. They know exactly what's going on. I never did. So in football, you know, the defense is moving. And then you got the safety back here, and he's making a little dash. And he's trying to convince the other side that he's going to run in and blitz the quarterback. And so they respond and they react to that. They get distracted. And that's what the devil does. He deceives. He's the deceiver. He's the distractor. And he gets us to take our eyes off from what we're supposed to do. We miss the panorama of the big whole field. Just see a small part of the play. And so we want to really focus on what God directs us to do out of His Word. I mean, that means everything. Regardless of what everybody else is doing, that doesn't discourage you. I mean, it does, but it's not huge. You don't have to stop with that. You can get up in the morning with a song in your heart because you got the Lord. You just keep going with the Lord. I mean, though no one join me, still I will follow. I'm going with God. But the devil's out there, he's trying to distract us from going with God. Never to do anything big. So, get you to just not hold on to the ball. Or never show up. On the field. And so, sure, there are things in our lives, but like anyone else, how many ways does God have to tell us in His Word? You just keep hanging on. And, you know, maybe you're in for the big play, and hang on. How are you going to make it to payday? Hang on. Hold on to the ball that God gives you. And that's the test. Now, we at times are emotionally very disappointed. Or we're hurt. We get tired. Well, hang on. Hold on. We get stressed. Sure do. But hold on. Get confused at times. Well, in the confusion, hold on to what you know. And sometimes there's pain. A lot of pain. And some of who we love are going through a lot of pain. A lot of pain. And it's for so long. I live with Irene. I got easy life. She has a lot of pain. every day. But she stays cheerful. She does what she can. She does not complain. She's holding on. Now, the irony from the years is, you know, we cannot measure anyone else's pain. Sometimes you know, but not always. Now, how come, you want to say, how come you're dropping the ball? Where were you during the big game? Well, we stayed up too late on Saturday night, and the kids all had to sleep in. So that's an excuse. You know, if you use your kids to stay away from church, Irene has often said, God can take your kids away. That is not a good thing to do. So, in fact, when she gave birth to our first child, the doctor, frankly, was kind of a quack. And he cut her up, gave her a lot of stitches. And this was during our week of evangelistic meetings at our church. And so, you know, we were going to our evangelistic meetings. And then on Thursday, the baby came, and we missed Friday. But Sunday, after all that cutting up, she went to church. What mattered to her? Well, not as much the pain as being with God's people. In fact, at the evangelistic meetings, Grace Chauvin, her father, was preaching the meetings. He said, hold that baby up. I have never been in church where there's such a young baby. And anyway, God says, you know, my mom would say this over and over, and she lived it. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. I'm glad she instilled that in me. And so when I pull up to a stop sign, I'm kind of prone to roll through, and I'm kind of waking up with that. You didn't stop. You need to feel the jerk of the car. That means you stopped. You know, who cares? Faithful in little. Is it the law? To be faithful in much. So I try. You know, I'm still working on this old boy. But mom hung on to be faithful in a little. And then God gave her bigger things. Like she was the evangelist of the town. She would send out tracts all over town. She would send out letters to the relatives who really didn't appreciate it. Like 8 pages of handwritten notes about you need to come to know Jesus. And then we go to a family reunion, she'd be sitting across the picnic table talking to a couple of ladies about how come you need to know the Lord. I go, man, this mom is so embarrassing. That didn't stop her. So the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but he that endures to the end. And that means you got to hang on. Got to hang. Keep on the ball. Keep the ball. So, do we miss the real motivations, like of the enemy? Well, Jesus said what? Jesus said they hated me. They're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. But keep on. The defense is always out there trying to stop us. Anticipate the attack. What does it take to stop you? It's not that God must not love me because I'm going through these things, but God must trust me with this big thing, or I wouldn't have it on my plate. And the devil's trying to stop. Defense is always there. Devil's working hard. So you're facing that opposition. But you must be doing something right for God. So keep on and keep on. Keep on. Hold on. You know, visibly, sometimes I look at life and go, it don't look like I'm making it. It doesn't look like this is the yardage. In fact, the times, you know, you lose some players. But what if this time I don't make it? The battle rages. Then you still have to hang on to the ball. in hard times. And what that means is you'll get another chance to play. There'll be opportunities ahead. So don't back out. We had such a wonderful youth group come to Utah. Nobody complained, nobody. And they do, work hard. It's just amazing. Watch them go. Such hearts for God. And it's just wonderful. Well, then Lydia and another girl came back later. They had such a good time serving the Lord. They wanted to come back and just be with Irene and me. And so we did that. And so I took them up to Park City and witnessed all up and down the street there. And we did different things. Well, this morning I got an email from Lydia, and she said, I just want to trust you with this. I found out a few weeks ago I was pregnant, and we lost another baby. Well, I said, I don't know what to say, but I'm crying. Her and her sweet husband are going through the deepest pain. We need to pray, through the trials and difficulties, and they may be bigger than anybody around. They may be the biggest in the whole area. And it's yours. And you can say, this is not the first time for Lydia. I'm tired of this stuff happening. Well, then you got to keep going, because God has something big in your life. But you don't give up. So remind us of our broader purpose and our destiny. We're the head and not the tail. Amen. We're going for God. We're looking to God. We look under the hills. From whence cometh my help? And then David said, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Look above the hills. Look to the Lord. My help, I can hang on. And I can advance. And I can win. Because I know my goal. I know my coach. I know my team. I know the destiny. I know the reward. I'll never give up. I'm in. I'm not on the bench. I'm in. I'm going for God. Until he calls me home. Salvation is about us being able to receive something. Because someone else did all the work. Those in the Super Bowl today, some will never get on the field. But they will receive the check. Even though someone else is out there playing. We are the ones to receive the reward, even though Jesus made the big play. Don't cost us anything. Cost him everything. He gave all. He died. He gave his life so we can have life and that more abundantly. Praise the Lord. That's why we win the game of life. It's who we're playing for. It's all kinds of spiritual leaders. Only one has risen from the dead. Go for the winner. We have the Lord. Well, game of life. It's fun, isn't it? It's a challenge. And we've had our hard hits. We're out here to win. It's not about us. If it hurts, ask Irene, does it hurt? Yeah, it hurts. But it's not about us. She says, one day, I'll have a new body. Amen. Amen. Just get up off that field and go. Carry the ball. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to just Well, just to live in Kansas City. It's pretty exciting. We don't put that down at all. We're glad to be here. We're glad for the Chiefs. We'd rather live here than San Francisco. We'd rather cheer on our team than cheer on theirs. But we have the devil's team against us in real life and spiritual life. We're playing for you. We're going to win.